excited to dive into the Word this morning and hear where God wants us to go. And I know that God has given me a special word, a now word for the church right now. Matter of fact, the past 4 weeks, God has been doing some good things. And I'm excited about this new year. Are you all excited about this new year? It's like, man, let's let this garbage go. It's time that we get on with business and do what God wants us to do and be in our life. And so, excuse me, we're going to talk about that. And I come up with a title this morning for the message. And God gave me just getting back to following Jesus. Getting back to following Jesus. You say, well, why have I not been following Jesus? No, we're going to get back to following Jesus, because what we've learned, and actually 2 weeks ago, God gave me a specific scripture for the church, a now scripture, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 3, and I don't have it up here, and I'm going to paraphrase it for you. God says this is the year where he's going to take off the spirit of heaviness from us and put on a new spirit called a garment of praise. God wants to take that heaviness off of us. But as I was thinking about that, what caused all the heaviness in the first place? Well, what caused the heaviness is the body of Christ and the believers. They started looking at everything else. They started following everyone else, everything else, even themselves, and they got their eyes off of Jesus, and they stopped following Jesus, and this spirit of heaviness come upon them. And so we're going to talk about this getting back to following Jesus again, and what does that look like, and how do we do that? I'm going to tell you, church, it's more in this social media world that we live in. It's more than a like and an unlike of a push of a button or a follow or an unfollow. It's so easy. You know, well, I think I'm going to like that. I think I'm going to follow that person. I'm going to unfollow that person. You see, it's so much more than that. You see, following Christ, and I want to remind you this morning, is the most serious, the most important decision that we could ever make in our entire life. And I get excited about this because I never forget the moment that I made that decision to truly follow Christ. What does that really mean? I remember when I was a little boy. Y'all remember the Billy Graham Crusades? Man, I love that. I remember I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and I just waited. I knew that Billy Graham was going to have this huge crusade, and it was going to be on the Friday night. It was going to be on TV, and man, I got so pumped and excited about it. I was pumped about listening to the Word of God. I would go home and glue my eyes on that TV, and I seen that arena was so full of people. I mean, thousands of people. Could have been a baseball stadium, a football stadium, but I just got excited, and all I would do was just focus on the message that he would preach and the intensity that he preached it with. And I always loved the ending. Remember the endings? Man, he would give that call and said, if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you can do that right now. I want to encourage you, step out of your seat where you're from right now and step down here and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And they would play that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And hundreds and thousands of people would run down there with their hands lifted up, tears in their eyes, making a commitment to follow Jesus with all of their heart and all their life. And as I would watch, I would hear that, and I knew that God had a calling on my life because I wanted to do that. I even knew, even before I was saved, that God had a calling on my life. And I made a commitment to follow the Lord. But as I think about that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. There's like stories behind every song. And I love to study. I love to find histories about it. And so I studied it. I found out that that song came from a family that was martyred in India 200 years ago. Now, the father's name was Assam. And they lived in this Hindu village in India. And you all know that if you turn to Christianity, his entire family turned to Christianity. They all accepted Christ. And back then, and even still today, they could kill you. And you would be martyred for turning your life over to Christ. And so they took Assam and his entire family out in the streets. And they asked him, they said, we want you to renounce your faith in Christ. You can't serve Christ in this country. You need to renounce your Christianity. And at that moment, Assam looked at them and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And at that moment, they killed his wife. And they looked at him again and said, "We're serious about we're going to take your life and the rest of your family if you do not renounce this." And he looked up at him again and said, "No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus." And at that moment, they took the entire family and prepared them for their execution. And while they were doing it, they said that a psalm said these startling words. He said, "The world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus." And they took his life. And man, I tell you what, this year, I am passionate about the church making a decision saying, "I choose to follow Jesus this year. I have decided to make Jesus the Lord of it all, of everything in my life." And so I guess I want to ask you this serious question, and I want to ask you, put this question up here that God gave me that I want you to understand. Here it says this: how serious are you about following Christ right now? I want you to ask yourself that question. Have you gotten so distracted with everything else in this world? Have you been following the news too much? Have you been following the wrong crowd too much? Have you been getting caught up in everything else and you've lost your way somehow with following Jesus? I love what Lisa said. She said, "It's time that where are the Billy Grahams today? I want to know, where are all the people that flood at the altars? It's time that we get back. It's time that I start preaching the Billy Graham messages. It's time that us as the body of Christ start having a hunger and start following and doing everything we can to want to follow after Jesus and the world behind me, but I'm going to allow the cross. It's before me, and I have decided to follow Jesus." Make that decision that a psalm had to make. And you know what? And it's going to cost us something. It will. It costs me. But man, the return is so much better. Oh, it may hurt a little bit. But man, the things that God has for you in the process is amazing. And so Jesus was trying to express how important and how serious it was to follow him, even with his disciples. And I'm going to take you to this story where he was telling them, "Look, if you're going to follow me, you've got to listen to what I'm telling you, and you've got to hear what I'm saying, and you have to follow it." That's following Jesus. It's not making your own decisions up. It's not coming up with your own. It's following Jesus. So let me read you this story. It's a little bit, it's kind of lengthy scripture here. It's in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 and 38, but I want you to catch it. I want you to catch how he is serious about his disciples and people following him. "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea of Philippi." And by the way, this was a very paganistic city. And still today, if you go there, that there are altars where they worship those gods. They left them there. It's still the same today. "And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say I am? Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Now see, he's fishing here. He's trying to get them. Who do you say? I want to know, do you really know that I'm the Savior? "Peter answered and said to him, 'You're the Christ. You're the King, man. You're the President. You're the CEO.'" Right? So Peter identified that he was something big here. And in verse 30, "Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them." And by the way, when the Savior is teaching you something, what do? You listen to what he tells you. And by the way, I want to pause here. Up to this point, Jesus had been telling them over and over and over now for 3 years that he was going to die for them. He was going to be crucified for them. And so he was preparing them for this, okay? So they had already known this. And if your teacher's telling you this, you may not like it, but yet you have to be prepared and you have to learn and follow what he's telling you. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And after the 3 days, rise again, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter, now this always blows me away. You've got to be feeling incredibly confident right now of what Peter just does here. Okay, now remember, here's the teacher. He's already told him what's going to happen, but for whatever reason, Peter is not wanting to receive it. How many times does God try to speak to you and you know he's wanting you to do something, but we try to come up with all different kinds of justifications not to do it? I don't want it that way, Jesus. I got a different way. And we have a tendency to try to help Jesus out, don't we? Watch what he does here. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You're feeling really good, buddy. I mean, amazing. I mean, you're having the greatest day of your life to go rebuke the creator of the universe. But when he had turned around, this is Jesus now, and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, I don't know. I would never want Jesus Christ to call me Satan. That's never a good day you're having right there. "For you are not mindful of the things of God." He's reminding Peter here that, look, you're not following me, Peter. You got your own agenda. I've already told you the agenda that it's going to happen. "You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You're following man. What brought the spirit of heaviness on us in the first place? We followed man. We're following our own desires. And this is what Peter is doing. He's trying to follow his own desires here. In verse 34, "When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself.'" In other words, it's going to cost you. You're either going to follow me or not follow me. And following Jesus is doing what Jesus asked you to do when he asked you to do. That's following Jesus. "And take up his cross and follow me." There's where we're getting the title of the message. Follow me. Follow me. Let's keep going. "For whoever desires to save his life," this is where it gets a little tough. This is where it's going to cost us something. "We'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, let's stop here. There are many, many, many different stages and levels when it comes to following Jesus Christ that everyone's at. And you'll see it all the time, and I'm going to show it to you. But my responsibility is to encourage the body of Christ, is to encourage you, is to teach you to follow Jesus Christ with everything that you have. Nothing more, nothing less. It is my responsibility to get you excited to make Jesus the Lord of your life. That where you will say, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I want to be like a psalm. It doesn't matter. I want to follow Jesus." Why? Why do I want to encourage you as the church? Because it's a matter of life and death. It can save your life. Serving Christ will save your life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." Jesus is a matter of life and death. We're going to be dead lots longer when we'll be alive. You know what? We're going to do the funeral this afternoon. And for whatever reason, at funerals, it seems like the eternal things become more important than the earthly things at that moment. But all of our lives, all the earthly things seems to be important up to that point. And you see, again, I'm going to be dead lots longer than I'm alive. And so I got to know what's going on both sides of the fence here. And I got to do everything I can to get as many sheep as we can into heaven. And when we get there, then we can start living, okay? It'll all be over with. We can live forever. I want to live forever. It's free. Don't cost you a nickel. You know? It's free. And I don't get why people refuse that. Well, it's all about believing. If people could just believe, then they would receive. And so let's keep rolling here. Because it could save your life. That's why I want to encourage you. And Paul puts it this way. Let me show you what Paul puts it here. Go ahead and go to Paul. Next scripture here. Did I put it in there? How about this? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow in me. That's a song. I'm decided to follow Jesus Christ. So following Jesus Christ is one of the most, the highest level that you can get to, following Christ. And again, there are different levels when it comes to following Christ. And I want to show you these levels real quick. And I want you to think about what level are you at? I want you to think about this right now. What level am I at in the body of Christ as it relates to following Jesus Christ, okay? Now, because there's five levels, and I want to take time to show them to you. The first one is this. Let's go up to them. There are five levels. The first one is what we call the crowd level. This is the beginning level. This is the level where people will come to church, I don't know, about once every 3 or 4 weeks. Just make sure, check it out, keep touch in, you know. Just make sure it's there. Check in, yeah. Okay, I want to make sure everything's good. That's the crowd. That's the first level. Okay, this is the baby level right there. That's the baby level. That's like nursery level, okay? Then the second level is what we call the congregation level. This is the ones who continually just come to church every Sunday. They're like, I like this. I think I'll make this my home. Now, they don't get involved. They just come to church every Sunday, and they feel that pew, baby. They want to make sure that seat's waiting for them when they get there. That's my pew. That's my seat right there, you know? Those are the people. That's the congregation level. But they're still not plugged in, okay? That's the second level at following Christ. That we get to, and then you grow a little bit more, and then the third level is this level, and we call this the committed level. Now, this is the level when people will make a decision that, hey, you know what? I'm going to start going to these classes around here and just checking out a little bit more. I'm going to see what these people are about. I'm going to see what the body, and they'll go to the men's breakfast, you know, and then they'll go to the ladies' deal. And they'll start going to the journey classes and checking it off. Now they're not committed yet. They've not done anything, but they're just right now. And man, and they're going to those things now, and they're staying plugged into those things. That's what we call the committed level. And now here's the fourth level, and this is the level that drove us through the 2 years of COVID and all the other stuff and elections and junk that helped us survive this thing. And we call it the core level. This is the level that the people that were going to the classes are now saying, hey, man, I think it's time for me to teach a class now. I think it's time for me to step up and just watching, but it's time for me to now to get involved. Maybe I could teach the children, or maybe I could be a hospitality worker and get plugged in there, or maybe I could work in the men's ministry, start cooking breakfast, man, and start really getting involved there, or maybe I can go in the women's ministry and start helping planning these Super Saturdays with Miss Wilma, and you start getting, now you're starting to teach. Yeah, hey, I want to hang out at the front door, start shaking some hands, man. That's the core level. That's the level that drives the church right there, okay? And the very last level is the fifth level. So as I'm giving you these, I want you to ask yourself the question, which level are you at as it relates to following Christ? Well, you can follow Christ when I'm home. I don't need to be at your... Really? It's the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Don't forget, we got to assemble the body of Christ. You're following Christ, and it's the body of Christ is where you can be used to change people's lives as they come in the door. And so that, we have to get that core level. But here's the hardest level. It's called the commissioned level. This is the level where that's the psalm level. I'm willing to take my life for the cause of Christ. I'm laying it down. I'll quit my job. I'll leave, I'll do whatever it takes to follow Christ. The world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to decide to follow Christ. Though none go with me, I'm still going to follow Christ. See, that's the commission level that we got to get to. So I want you to think about those levels as I share three attributes of what a true follower of Christ looks like. okay? You'll spot them. You'll see them. And these are the three attributes that people live by. And so I want to encourage us as we go along. It's our whole goal. Let's bring everybody up. If we get everybody up to the level, then I believe that God can really start doing the work that he needs to do a whole lot quicker and a lot faster for the body of Christ. Now watch this now. And so let me give you three attributes that will be displayed in a believer's life. And the first one is this, and they will follow the examples of Jesus. They will follow the examples of Jesus. In other words, if Jesus does it, they're going to do it. If Jesus prayed for the sick, I'm going to pray for the sick. If Jesus loved the unlovables, I'm going to love the unlovables. Okay? If Jesus prayed, I'm going to pray. I'm going to follow the examples of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, it tells us this, let this mind or this thinking be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. And he set the examples for me to follow. And this is what Jesus was doing with his disciples in the story I just read. He said, look, fellas, I want you to follow me. Do what I'm doing. Stay connected. Don't leave. I want you to stay by my side. Let's move together as the body of Christ, as body believers. He goes on and says, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1. Imitate me, Paul says, just as I also imitate Christ. I am going to do whatever Jesus does. I'm going to do what my Savior did. How many of you remember those WWJD bracelets? Those were awesome. I think we need to get back to that. Man, I used to wear that thing, and before I'd get ready to do something, I'd look at that thing, and I'd ask myself this question. Would Jesus do what I'm about ready to do? Would he do this? And it would give you a check, you know, it'd give you this ding, ding, ding warning sign. Wait a minute here. I probably shouldn't be going here. I probably shouldn't be watching that. I probably shouldn't be behaving like that. You know what? I probably shouldn't have cussed that person out that jumped in line in front of me in Walmart, you know. Probably shouldn't have flipped them off in the bank line that they cut me off of the car, you know. Right? Let's be real. Amen. I mean, we could say, oh, we got to keep everything holy. You know, we got to keep it real. That's the way people act. But would Jesus do those things? And here's my point. Jesus was very serious about following him. Very serious about following his examples. So much so, listen to what he says here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments. In other words, what he tells us to do. In other words, what his examples, his commandments, right? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so a true follower of Jesus Christ is going to do what Jesus did. He's going to follow his example. A true believer will follow Jesus no matter what. No matter what. They're not going to back down. Now, here's the second one, the second attribute that will be displayed from a believer. Number two, they show and live a changed life. People ought to see it. They live a changed life. They don't play games with this thing. They show people that they're a Christian. You ought to be able to know who's a Christian, who's not a Christian, you know? Amen. Y'all will see it. They ought to be a lot. You could spot them a mile away. Oh, you're a believer, right? I remember that I was at the hospital with Molly, and I was standing in the elevator. Can't think. I was in the elevator, and they brought a patient in with me. You know, they said, could you scoot to the side? I said, sure, here, go ahead. And this guy was there. He was a big guy. He had an extra wide bed. And I'm like, you know, whoo. You know, it's that moment. I'm like, oh, I should have exercised more during. Anyway, but he had a big bed. And that guy had a very concerned look on his face because these two dudes, that was the medical people, whoever, I don't know what they call those people, but they were hauling wherever he was supposed to go. The guy looked at me and said, he said, are you a lawyer? I said, I don't know. Do I look like a lawyer? He said, well, could be. I said, you got somebody's business. They do you wrong here in the hospital? You need my card or something? He goes, no. I said, well, I don't know. What do I look like? He goes on. He said, well, you could be a doctor. Are you a doctor? I said, I don't know. They're not treating you right here? Do you need me to take a look at you? Is that what it is? I was messing with the guy. And the two dudes were like cracking up. They didn't know who I was either. And then finally, I said, well, what else could I be? He said, are you a preacher? I go, and here's the thing. I didn't even tell him that either. I said, out of all three of those, which one right now would you rather have in this elevator with you? He said, I'd call on the preacher. And I said, son, you got it right. I'm a preacher. You want me to pray for you before you get off this elevator? And they said, would you please? And these two dudes looked at me and said, yeah, go for it. I said, and I prayed in that elevator in Jesus' name. Listen, they ought to see that you're a born-again believer. You ought to show it. Amen. They ought to know who you are. My goodness, he threw me as a lawyer. I thought, oh, man, don't put me with those group, man. That's the tax collectors and the sinners got put in that group. I said, I'd rather be the doctor's side, okay? I'd go with that one. But they show and they live a life that people can see. So they follow the example of Jesus and they show and they live a changed life. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a change in you. Let me jump ahead here. Let's go to the scriptures now. A life, go back to that one. I'm sorry, I'm messing them up. Live a life that is faithful to him. Show the world that you belong to him. Now let's read these scriptures here. Let's go on. James 1 verses 22. But be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Do it. Show people that you belong to God. Amen. You belong to him. You're married to him. We're the bride of Christ. Man, I got the ring on, baby. I belong to Jesus. He's the bridegroom. And he's going to come get us one day. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Right there. There were 3,000 people that got saved, and they got baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment that you're making to the Lord. And they're showing the world, hey, I belong to Jesus now. And next Sunday, we have an opportunity to go down in that water and come up and say, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am born again. I'm saved. I belong to Jesus. That's what a true follower does. They're not ashamed. And that's what they did here. Man, I got the wedding band on, baby. I now belong to him. I'm married to him. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But I am married to Jesus Christ. Because we're the body of Christ. And he's only coming after one bride. And we are that bride. And he is the bridegroom. And the only way you can have life, I'm going to throw this in here, is when the bridegroom and the bride comes together, you have life. Did you just notice what I just said? The bride's not coming after the bride. Oh, I'm going somewheres. It's the bridegroom. The male is coming after the female. That's the only way you can have life in this world. No other way. You can try it however you want. You can't do it. It's amazing how God put this thing all together, but we got it all jacked up and fouled up along the way. But again, the waters doesn't do the saving, but it shows the world, and we're following Christ because he says, do this. We have to do it. He did it, I'm doing it. And that's following the example of Jesus. If he got baptized, I'm getting baptized because he says, do it. Do it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, watch here, verses 21. This water symbolizes baptism. Okay, it symbolizes that now saves you, and also not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge. It's a pledge that you're making with everybody. You're showing the world that I now belong to him, of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So show people that you've been changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Man, there ought to be a newness in you. If I got saved, but you know, look at a person like, I don't see a change. You need to go get dunked again. You need to do something different, buddy. I'm not seeing it. Yeah, I got saved. I just got saved. You know, there got to be a change. There's a commitment. There's a price that's going to be paid when you follow Jesus Christ. There will be a price. Amen. Amen. So number Number one, they follow the examples of Jesus. Number two, they live and show the change with their life. Amen. Now here's the third attribute. So here's the third one. The third attribute of a follower of Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, are you fitting into this? Are we doing this? Are you doing it? The third one is this, and I'm done. Pastor David, go ahead and come on and get the praise team ready. A true follower of Jesus Christ, like a psalm, they tell others about Jesus. They don't cower down. You see, when they had that gun probably at a psalm's head and saying, renounce Christianity, at that moment he could have said, oh, I was just joking. I didn't really mean it. And he probably could have spared him and his family's life and could have went and tucked themselves away and worshiped Jesus quietly, right? They could have done that. But he didn't do that. He didn't care. He publicly told them about Jesus. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one goes with me, I'm still going to follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, I still choose to follow Jesus. I want you to get this morning, church. Where are you at? Where am I at? Oh, my goodness. When I was prepared for this, I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry, God, for putting everything before you, God. God, I had to repent during this message, church. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, man, I got caught up in so much stuff and distractions and kind of lost my way as well. We all did. Can we just be truthful? We all lost our way over the past 2 years. God says it's time to get back to truly following me, son. Get the distractions out. Get it back out of your life. And begin to trust me and follow me. I never forget the very first time that I got saved. Man, you remember that day? I got so excited. I told everybody about Jesus. I didn't care. I would go tell everyone. I would go up. I'd go on the basketball courts. Because you see, there was a change in me. There was something that changed in me. And it put all the fear and the doubt away. And it drove it out. And all that came in was this confidence. Because there was a Savior now living in me that gave me a confidence. And oh, I was just a little guy, man. I probably only weighed maybe 80 pounds. And I went out there with all those big, tall, giant basketball players. And I said, man, I got to tell you about this Savior that changed my life. And he could change your life too. And there were some that received. And there were some that looked at me and said, we don't want to mess with you. And they took me. They were all bigger. They took me and threw me in this big mud puddle. I was probably out 15. But I didn't care. I got up. Said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, but I'm telling you, you could change your life too. I was all muddy. Drug infested. I mean, there were drugs everywhere. I didn't care. I went right in there. The little sky out there. There's amazing what God will do. There's a difference between the confidence and being big in stature or being big in spirit. You see, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because if my God is for me, who could be against me? I don't give a rip how big people are. You know why? Because again, at the end of the day, I don't live to please everyone else. I don't live to please the world anymore. And I don't live to please myself. I now live for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to please Him, please God, please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my Savior, the one who paid for it all, who died on the cross for me. That's who I want to please. Throw me in the mud all you want. I don't care. I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell you about a Savior again. Throw me in there again. I'll get out and I'll tell you again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's the power. Get it? It's the power of God unto salvation. Doesn't matter how big you are. You know what? I used to crack on Chris over here and his sons. He's like working out, like cracks me up. I joke with him all the time, and I said, you know what, I may not be able to beat you up, but I guarantee you I'll put a bruise or there'll be blood on your body when we get done. That's about the best I could do. But you know what, you will feel pain. I love you, buddy. But we would never do that. He wouldn't do that to me. But you know what? But in the spirit, Chris, I'm going to give you a serious run for your money. Or run for your salvation. I don't know what you call it. You know what I'm saying? Because I have decided to follow Jesus. And if my God is for me, who could be against me? That's my confidence. My confidence is in Him. He's the creator of the universe. He holds this entire world in the palm of His hand. That's my dad. That's my father. And I go to the one who can control it all. And He can move the mountains out of my way if I have just learned to lay it on the line and say, God, I have chosen to follow You with all of my heart, with all of my life. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. I need to wrap up. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. I'm going to tell people about Him. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And that day, a psalm learned that. God would have denied me if I would have said, I don't know Him. How many times do we get in a bad place? And you know, when we get out, my family, we pray. We don't back down. We pray every meal. You go out to supper with us, we're going to pray. Is there anyone in this room that ever went to dinner with my wife and I and we did not pray? You're not going to be able to raise your hand. And if you don't want to pray, you better not go to dinner with us because we're going to pray. And if God starts moving, it could be a little longer. I don't know. But we always pray during the salads. That way the meat don't get hot or cold. Go to Puerto Vallarta. Let's pray for these chips. You know what? Why do we do that? Because I thank God for every blessing He gives us. See, I couldn't even have the money or the resources to go there had it not been God providing it for me. Why does He do it? Because I've chosen to follow Jesus. No matter what, I'm not going to be ashamed of Him. And I love it how it sparks conversation. People look at you, they come at you, man, I'm so proud of you praying. That makes me feel good. And then there's other people who say, I was offended by you praying. I said, I was offended by you not. I don't know. Seriously, I don't care. I don't live to please you. I don't live to please myself. I live to please my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, church, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We can either hide it or we can shine it, man. Let your light so shine before men that they may see it. See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to show the world. I'm going to tell the world that I'm a Savior, or that He saved me, and I've been cleansed by His blood in Jesus' name, and that I serve my Savior. I'm not going to be ashamed of that in Jesus' name. Tell the world what He's done for you. Tell the world how He saved you. My Savior healed my body of cancer. I'm going to tell the world of that. My Savior healed me from depression. I'm going to tell the world of that. What has He done for you? Don't hide it. Tell it. Tell it. That's your greatest testimony. A true follower follows the examples of Jesus. They live and they show a changed life. Not only that, but they tell people about Jesus. They mention Jesus' name to them. They don't hide it. They are not ashamed of it. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow You, Lord. The world behind me, oh, praise God, and that cross is before me. Why? Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Which level are you at this morning? Which level do you want to be at this morning? Are you all in? Come on. I want the spirit of Billy Graham on me this morning. And I'm going to challenge you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can make that happen right now. All you have to do is get out of your seat and come and make a commitment for Him. Some of you, you may need to rededicate your life because you got so focused on everything else that you lost the vision. You lost your sense of His presence in your life. And the thing that's going to change this world is the Word of God and the presence of God. And if you want the presence of God get back in your life, begin today, right now. Decide to follow Jesus. The world behind me, COVID behind me, disease is behind me, sickness is behind me, the cross is before me. Why? Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Would you stand? Will you stand? You know, some of us, we just made it to say, okay, man, I want a whole new commitment with the Lord. This is a new year. New year. A new year. You know what my prayer is? Is that this altar gets full. Full of people that's just hungry. Not goofiness, but people who are genuinely hungry for God. And they've made a choice that they're going to follow Him no matter what. God wants to remove that heaviness. And He wants to put on that garment of praise. He's going to do that by you making a decision to finally follow Him. Get your eyes off of everything else. Get it back onto Him. And say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you need. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. You just may want to just stand and just take a moment. Just love the Lord. And just stand and praise God. Whatever. But I'm challenging you today. Come. Let's make a decision before we start this year. Say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on, let's just sing this.